All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fuck Nicks? What the fuckadelics? What's happening? Look, Nikki Glaser's on the show. She was on the show back in 2016 when she had her show Not Safe with Nikki Glaser on Comedy Central. And look, I see her around. You know, she's living in St. Louis. She's around occasionally. I always like her. She's a very frank, honest, dirty comic. I like it. She's a dirty lady. And I always enjoy seeing her. And she was around. And she's got this new HBO special out, Nikki Glaser, Good, Clean, Filth. She also is the host of F-Boy Island on HBO Max. And I thought, well, fuck, we're revisiting some people who I like to talk to. Let's talk to Nikki. And man, it gets a little racy, a little raw, a little honest. Just honest about deep fucking food issues and sex stuff. And I don't have these conversations much, but for some reason I trust her. I trust Nikki Glaser to talk about this. So I don't know how you hold your life together, but I don't have an assistant. You know, a lot of people in my position who'd have basically three jobs all the time, which is stand up, which is WTF, and at other times, you know, acting, that I should have somebody watching over my day to day so I can be more efficient and take some things off my plate. But I seem to like a full plate, even if it's just bullshit. I just have been doing bullshit, and it's really the best way to ground yourself. I mean, I literally was sort of excited and overprepared to go to the DMV to get my real ID. I'm not even sure a real ID is a real idea or a good idea. I don't know. It's some sort of kind of management of our identities. I don't know what the idea of the real ID is. I guess it's that every state will have a real ID situation so they can federalize driver's licenses and make the database more efficient for when they want to get us. But I'm like, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about my real ID because, like, I have to, my license expired and I got to shift over to the real ID, and they need documentation of where I live. They need to know where I live, and I need to submit that, and then I'll have it. But there's something like, I just want to show up and do the stuff and have it on and then get it processed. So I go to the DMV, and it's peak COVID over here. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, it's peak COVID, but it's not deadly COVID. It's fine. You don't want COVID. There's no reason to get COVID four times. It can't be good. You know, for all you whiny people about vaccines causing heart attacks and this and that, there seems to be repercussions of getting more and more COVID that could last a lifetime. And they're not great. But I went to the DMV, masked up, got in there. It was crazy. It was so predictable. It was almost like a hacky DMV experience. It's like, this is exactly like the DMV should be. This is exactly what it is. Just like literally hundreds of people doing any number of things you can do at the DMV. Titles, IDs, pictures, taking driver's tests. It was crazy. It looked like there were people sleeping there. It looked like there were people camping out at the DMV. But I made an appointment, and surprisingly, I got in there, had my documents, was pleasant, and I was done in like 15, 20 minutes, and then I couldn't find my keys. I left my keys at the DMV. It's very interesting what your brain does. Well, maybe I shouldn't say yours when something like that happens. When I'm in a crowded place and you have to assume there has to be a criminal element in this DMV right now. Does there? Am I being racist? There's part of me that's like, are there any representatives of the Armenian mob here? You know, that's what happens when something falls out of order. Tickets for my shows in Montreal, the solo shows that I've been putting off telling you about so I could sell tickets to the gala. But these are the solo shows. Now, this is a small place, seats about 120. And I'll try to pronounce it properly, but they go on sale today at noon Eastern, all right? And the name of the place is Saul Claude Leveille. It's a theater. I don't know what that means in French. Saul Claude Leveille. Maybe I got it right. But look, you can go to my website, WTFpod.com/tour, or you can go to hahaha.com and grab these tickets. All right. There's only a few. Show on Thursday, July 28th, is at 7 p.m. Then the show on Friday is at, on July 29th, is at 8:30 p.m. Saul Claude Leveille. You can get tickets at WTFpod.com/tour or at hahaha.com. Okay. Anyway, I'm at the DMV and I've left my keys somewhere and I run through the place twice and everywhere I stopped, couldn't find the keys. And right away my brain goes into like, what do I do now? Did somebody go take my car? All you'd have to do is go out into the parking lot and push the little alarm buzzer on the key fob and you would find my car and then you would take my car and then there'd be something in my car that would have my address. Then you have the keys to my house. Then you're in my house. Then maybe you're petting my cats and I don't know you. Why are you in my house? Granted, you don't have my alarm code, but maybe I didn't put the alarm on. So you're hanging out at my house. Maybe you're touching everything. Maybe you're just climbing into my bed and hanging out for a few minutes to see what that feels like. Maybe you're stealing things. Maybe you're taking all my loose change. Maybe you're taking some of my pottery. Maybe you're just going to wait till later to do all that. So I go out to the car and the car is still there and I don't really know what to do. Do I go home? Do I get a lift home? Do I get a car service and go get my extra keys? Or when I come back, is my car going to be gone? Should I stand by my car and wait for whoever the criminal element is that has my keys to come out here and show themselves and then confront them in the parking lot and say, what did you think you were going to do with my keys now that you found my car? What was your plan, man? Who are you? Who sent you? What did you think was going to happen? Were you going to go get in my bed just to check out my mattress, you fucking weirdo? So that went on in my head. And then I asked if there was a lost and found. And the security guy goes, go to window 12. And I asked her, did anyone find any keys? And she goes, keys? And she walked back to a desk where another lady was sitting and held up some keys. I'm like, yep. She's like, what kind of car? Toyota. Okay. She gave me my keys. So a lot went on in my head, full narrative. There was some dude in my bed, fully clothed, just because. There was a dude touching my cats. There was a dude going through my stuff, taking my change, all of that, maybe eating some snacks. Man, what the fuck is wrong with me? Whew. Listen to me. Nikki Glaser is here. Her new special, Good Clean Filth, is now streaming on HBO Max. Season 2 of F-Boy Island is also on HBO Max. And this is us getting down to it. Brass tacks, eating disorders, vibrators, sex stuff. Enjoy. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? I'm not hung up on money.
Me neither.
Right?
I just stopped being. I mean, I like it.
Right, but it doesn't drive your life.
No, I'm trying to write, I was thinking about writing a book, and I just realized that the stress of not even getting a book proposal together and the loose deadlines that my agents have given me for that have caused me so much stress that I don't even want a book deal. I don't care what the number is. It's not worth feeling guilty all the time that
horrible.
I'm not writing.
It's like having an incomplete in college.
Yes. Yes. They're so hard.
Where you're just sort of like, how can I write a paper now? It's 6 months after I graduated. I still got to write.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean by an incomplete in college?
I mean,
that resonated with me, and then I go, I don't know that I know.
Well, it just means you didn't finish one class. Like you still have a paper.
Oh yeah, to get your
yeah, that kind of shit.
Oh no, I really don't think I would be able to do it. And I think that everything that I would want to say in a book, I've said on a podcast at some point. And if someone really cares, just go back and listen to stuff.
You know what you can do, because I wrote a couple books, and
yeah, I
would never write another one.
Why?
Well, the ones that you just write by yourself, they just hang over you and they don't sell. I mean, maybe you're huge and I don't know. Are you huge?
No, no.
Well, then it's not going to be worth it unless you get a huge deal. The last book I wrote, it was at the beginning of podcasts and Twitter and shit.
Yeah.
So they were all about like, he's got all this exposure. Let's give him a big money. There's a billion more. And I'm like, I had no desire to write a book, but the money was stupid. So I'm like,
exactly.
I'll write it, but this will be the last book I ever write for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to make this money back.
Yeah.
And I don't like doing it. I don't like writing. I don't even like writing my own TV show.
I hate it.
Oh,
God. Yeah. That's the other thing. I don't like writing my own act. You're the same as me. You're the only person that I have heard has the same, writing style for stand-up as me, where it's just all in your head and you don't really write anything down. And
no, you just outline it.
Yes. Yeah,
me just too. Make these outlines. You lose so much shit like that.
And it's the worst process.
And when I look at people that are really successful,
they always are on their laptops. They have it all written down long form.
Well, I mean, but they're also doing a different type of joke. Like these people that have like some sort of distance between them and their routine, which I don't really. I mean, it is the me that lives on stage.
Sure.
But I'm not just writing general jokes.
No. I mean, I do sometimes. Sometimes they're fun to still pepper in, and they're all over my set. But no, I don't do that anymore either. There is no difference between me on and off stage. I feel like which is so nice to finally be able to go on stage and be very conversational.
Yeah, you do stop talking off stage sometimes, right?
Mark, are you telling me that I talk too much?
No, I'm just saying that I say that too, that there's no difference between me on stage and off.
But off stage,
there's another 24 hours. There's another 23 hours.
Yeah. So,
and I think that
it's obviously a heightened version of myself in a very
But I know what you mean. You're just comfortable.
Confident version of myself.
Right.
And, but there's no, it's, people are always shocked at how seamless it is from me having a conversation with them in the wings of the theater and then just being like, hold on one second, I'll just get right back to that. And then being able to walk out without having to do some kind of breathing exercise or centering myself. I can just flow right into it.
I don't even bring opener anymore.
I've
lately just been going out because I got all this material.
I know, I have too much too.
Right, so I'm just sort of like, fuck it, they're here to see me. What do I need? And I'm sort of mean because I get out and I go, there's no opener, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the patter and the trying.
I don't disagree with you. I bring an opener. I like, because bringing openers helps give comics opportunity.
It's part of our legacy.
Yes.
Like it's part of the responsibility to give back.
And they keep me company.
Well, see, that goes
either way. I need that.
Yeah.
Very deeply. I have three openers sometimes. I bring two, regardless. I have my Anya Marina, she's a musician. She's my best friend. So she comes out and does two songs. Then my podcast co-host, who my fans already know and they're fans of.
Who's that?
He comes out, Andrew Collin.
Oh, is he the guy that is always there with you?
Always there with me, okay. Yes. He's my, he lives in my building and we do a podcast together from St. Louis 4 days a week. And so he opens it. Usually I have like usually three. And then Anya comes out, does two songs, and then she does a third song, and then I come out and sing with her.
Oh.
And then
you do your show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is it? So then what are you left with, like 15 minutes?
$15 at the end of paying for all this shit. But no, I do like, sometimes I do, an hour 40 sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
And then
I
have to just every night go, can you do 5 minutes, Andrew? I'm sorry. Well, like,
that's why I do it myself, because I know I'm working shit out.
Yeah.
And I got to shoot a special in December, and it's a long arc. But so I've got this like 2 hours, hour 45.
Yes.
Some of it I'm going to burn in Montreal and I can be done with it because I got to do a TV thing.
But no one's going to see that here.
No one ever sees that.
I know. Where does it go?
I don't know. No one ever tweets about
so
it.
So much
no
pressure
one ever
goes
talks in. About it.
So much preparation, so much planning, so much pressure is on those gala sets.
Yeah.
And then I never see them again.
Never.
I can't even find them on YouTube.
But nobody, right. And nobody talks about them.
No.
It's the weirdest thing.
First of all,
you know, you realize, like, as big a country as Canada is, there's not a lot of people there. Number one.
Right.
And number two, like, you know, you just would think there'd be a flurry of maybe two tweets when they repeat it. I've done four at least of those galas of one kind or another. Did one in Winnipeg. I'm hosting this one.
Oh, that's nice.
I guess it's nice.
Fun.
It would have been nice 10 years ago.
It feels like a big deal in the moment.
I've done so many of them. It's not an easy room. It's huge.
No, it's not. It's a huge room.
It's terrible.
Hosting is never easy, no matter when you do it. But
okay,
yeah, so
I'm not going to do it. But anyway.
Do it.
So, well, what I'm saying about the opener thing is that I started to realize that if I'm going to be up there an hour and a half, And I follow some guy who's doing 20, 25, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it could be like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour, 2:15. Like, they don't want that.
No one wants
that. My fucking audience is grown ups. They got babysitters
and
shit.
Yes, I sometimes offer, if I go too long and I go, you have to pay, I will say, I will Venmo you for the extra hour for your babysitter. I feel so bad that I kept you so long. I start to feel bad because I don't want to see anyone more than 2 hours, 2:15.
And here we are doing it.
I know.
And sometimes I used to do it. Sometimes I do it when I was tanking. Like, if I wasn't having a good show, I'd just stay up there.
Waiting for something good to happen?
But I think subconsciously,
them.
It's sort of, it's a mixture of both of those, but it's also sort of, they can't leave saying, I didn't try.
Yes!
You know, they can't go like, God, he just fucking... It ate it and bolted. Yes. It's like, no, I'm going to stay up here until...
Oh, I used to close with a dance. And by used to, I mean a couple months ago. It was just fun to do.
So
I had my two openers. Oh, yeah, it's so fun. Yeah. I had my two openers come out at the end.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, there was no closer that's like, and so you must dance. And then the music comes. I close on just whatever bit I end up on. There was never any plan.
Oh, so you know that with the dance, it'll be strong close no matter what.
Exactly. It always gives them something... Even if they didn't have fun, at least they saw me do a weird dance. Like, there's some, I always have to give extra things. And then the meet and greets, I give so much because I just want them to not be able to go, it wasn't that great. Because if they meet me, they're going to have a good time. I'm a really good meet. I'm a great greet, too.
Yeah, a good meet and greet?
Yeah, I do it both.
Well, I mean, what do you think this is, though? Because I mean,
low self-esteem.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's...
Because I don't do the meet and greet anymore. What I'll do is I'll, like, hang around, you know, be backstage for a while.
Right.
And then I'll just wander out about 20 minutes later, and I just figure whoever's out in front of the theater...
Whoever, yes.
You know, the 20 weirdos... Who love me and I love them.
And they put in the time, they waited.
And I'll do a few pictures.
Sure.
But I won't do the line anymore. There's too many pictures of me out in the world looking tired with strangers.
Yeah. And they don't go anywhere. Talk about where you never see it. I take hundreds of pictures a night and then no one posts it. You're waiting for me to die so you can have a good Instagram post because that's when this will show up.
Maybe they just want to have their own memory. Maybe
no
they're not all about...
No one has memories anymore in their phone. They only post... The only reason you take a picture is to post it.
I
love doing
tired.
It. I really enjoy it because I've...
You don't do merch anymore though, do you?
I do merch, but I don't do it myself. I could never do that and look people in the eye and convince them to buy a shirt that says Nikki Glaser is my hall pass or whatever the fuck I'm selling. Like, I could not. I feel
someone,
I'm such a bad
so
salesman.
A
I don't
manager?
Believe in myself.
You bring someone on the road to
yeah,
sell?
Yeah, I have a tour manager that, and then you just, the venue has someone that you pay, you know, you tip extra.
I just can't, I can't deal with the anxiety of the boxes and knowing that.
That's all taken care of. I would never do it if it wasn't taken care of. But the meet and greets I do like, I charge $50 for them at the merch booth if you want to buy one. But if you can't afford one, you DM me and I go, yeah, I'll give you one. Like, if you care enough to meet me.
You do a $50 meet and greet, they get $50 to hang out with you?
Well, it's one of the items at the merch booth, but if you can't afford it, I will always give it to you. And the people that run the merch booth know that, like, if someone is just like, how do I meet Nikki? And they're worried about the money, then I'll just give it to you.
So
I'm not trying to make money off
of
it.
Helping the homeless?
No, I'm trying to minimize how many people I meet, because if you just meet everyone, then you get a lot of guys grabbing you weird ways, saying dirty jokes to you.
Oh, really?
Just their hand lingering. This is the move they do. They around your waist, and then when the picture is over, they let their hand drape and then slide across your ass slowly. So you cannot call them out for, hey, you just touched my ass.
Because
they'll go,
like,
oh, it was a mistake. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then it's a whole thing. So you just let it happen.
So that repeats itself?
Oh, yeah. It happens over and over. I will sometimes tell someone, watch behind. Will you just watch for these guys? Because I know some audiences where there's going to be these guys. And these guys, the guys that are security guys, focused on my ass, waiting for guys to touch it, will not see it. I'll go, did you see that one? They go, they know. It's so sly. It's so under the radar. These guys are good.
Yeah.
And so I used to just hang out after shows and meet every single person because I heard Dane Cook did that or whatever. I don't know.
You heard Dane Cook.
You know, Dane Cook used to do that. He used to like stay hours and meet everyone after like arenas. And now I just charge just to cut down on the sheer number.
But what do they get? Is that part of a VIP package?
Yeah, it's a part of a VIP thing. Or you can buy them individually at the merch booth. Or I have a new policy where if you go to my show alone, which I think we miss out on so many ticket sales. And a lot of people that won't go to shows because... People that are fans of comedy have social anxiety a lot of times. People that are fans of podcasts.
I get a lot of guys alone.
A lot of people will not go alone because they don't have a friend to go with and they don't want to look like a loser. So I've incentivized it and I say, if you go to my show alone, you get a free meet and greet and I will like I'll be your friend, because I think that...
Does that include dudes? Does that include
ass touchers? Everyone. And they're the
ass
sweet...
touchers, though?
The people that take me up are always the sweetest. They're always so glad. They're like, I never do anything like this. It's empowering me to go to more things alone, because I don't know that I could do it. I felt very awkward going to things alone. But
I just want to be able to leave before it's over. I
don't. Oh, me too. Oh, God. I wonder if I would leave my own show before it's over. So, like, I always think of that, and possibly, but I'd miss the dancing.
But what, okay, so you're living in St. Louis.
Yeah, I live in St. Louis.
How long have you been doing that?
Since March of 2020.
I haven't, I don't think we've hung out in years, so
yeah.
I got to catch up on shit.
Okay.
So, well, how's the eating?
I love you so much.
What?
Because
I just made a.
What did you do?
I just made my anorexic salad that I have for the week.
Oh my God! Let me guess. Is there? It's an oil and vinegar. You're using a little bit of oil. Not much.
It's a red cabbage thing.
Oh, you're in a cabbage phase, are you?
It's been going on a while.
Oh yeah. How long has this been going on?
Months.
Oh, yeah, months. That's usually how long I go with a food that I'm really into.
I was going to hit the wall with it, but it hasn't happened yet.
And I do that all the time still.
But the problem is, like, I was on the road for like 3 months, for 3 weeks, like a month, and one of it was shooting a show in Canada, and I just drifted into, like, I'll fucking eat bread. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, and how'd that go for you?
Bad. I'm like, yeah, it got bloated. Like, ice cream in it. I don't give a shit. Cream cheese. I don't even fucking dairy.
See, it has to be all or nothing for us.
But like, it's like a slow build, though.
It doesn't have to be that, man.
But like, it turns your brain. All of a sudden, you're like, you know, like, I guess I'm just a bread guy now.
Yeah.
I can't be that.
You can be a bread guy.
No.
You don't have
terrible.
To be all the bread guy. The problem, okay, March 2020, I moved in with my parents in St. Louis. I was scared the pandemic was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in between apartments in New York.
Are you still with your parents?
No. Oh. I'm out of there. But I was there for 10 months, and I just got so depressed very quickly, and then my eating disorder became so loud and was honestly the thing that I realized. I go, this is why I don't have a boyfriend or anyone I could possibly live with besides my parents, and this is why I don't want to live alone either, because I'm so scared of how fucking weird I would get with food and how much it would kill me.
Do you
and
know
so
that,
I took care of it.
What do you mean took care of it?
I got help.
Oh.
I started go, you know.
What, OA?
I found a solution.
OA?
I cannot say.
Hey, can I talk about, we talk.
Well, I know you do, but you're missing the second letter there.
I get that, but I mean, you are sort of saying it, and also I believe it helps people.
I believe it helps people too, but I also believe that if you associate yourself with that,
then you're representative,
and then you fail.
No, I get.
People can say it doesn't work.
I understand that tradition.
Yes. Okay. Do you?
Sure. I absolutely.
Then
do.
Why don't you respect it?
Because I say this: I am not speaking for the program.
Okay.
I am in recovery, but I do not represent AA in saying this, that it worked for me.
Okay.
Or that any of it works for me. I'm very conditional about it.
Right.
And I have found that I get dozens, if not hundreds, of fucking emails from people I help get sober.
Oh, of
because
course.
Of it.
Yeah. Well, what I say is if you want to know what I did, you can write to me and I'll tell you.
Okay. Well,
but
there
I will
you go.
Not All confirm right. or deny what you just said. But I found a.
All right. Secret Society.
Yeah,
die
I found
hard.
A Secret Society.
Your old school.
Yeah. You know, I just. I'm not actually very active in it. I'm still abstinent, which is for me not skipping meals. I don't get to skip breakfast anymore. I don't get to starve ever. I don't get to be hungry and be like,
do you know that?
Yes.
Do you know that lady who has the ice cream places in St. Louis?
Jenny?
No.
No.
Clementines. Is that
it? Oh, yeah. I've heard of Clementines.
Yeah.
Of course, yes. I'm just not I don't do sugar.
This shit, I learned.
It's good.
Oh, I learned so much from her.
What did you learn?
Well, I mean, the publicist of the place is a fan of mine, so they're sending me the boxes.
Oh, nice. What'd you learn?
That in order for an ice cream to be artisanal, it has to have a certain milk fat ratio, and some part of it has to be made by hand. And that most of the good ice creams do not have a high milk fat. They're all hovering around some percentage. I don't remember what it is, but real ice cream with the real amount that
people
you're
are scared of fat.
But right, but
after
that's why 90s, it tastes so different.
Non-fat trends, right. Yes. Okay,
right, so,
Clementines.
So
I don't skip meals anymore, and so I still struggle with stuff, but man, is it not as loud anymore.
You freaked out when you got home? You just said,
oh, dude, I was just eating, I was starving all day, I was doing intermittent fasting, so I was just starving all day, and then I was-
Intermittent fasting like you were being healthy?
Well, that's, it's just adult anorexia. It's like this, suddenly you don't have to lie about starving. You can just be like, oh, I'm doing IF.
Again.
And then everyone is like, oh, that's fine. And they don't ask questions and they don't judge you. It's like acceptable. So I really latched onto that and was just for years not eating just coffee, like lattes throughout the day. And then start eating at night, have a dinner, and then it would not stop for the rest of the night. And then I would just sleep and wake up. And
you just eat all night?
All night long. Just protein bars, though. Like, you know, just like very...
Not even fun.
No, well, they were so good. I mean, like, I can be into anything that's... anything
what
that,
kind of protein?
Like, your cabbage salad, you're super into it. Like,
but I know that's not going to, like, hang on me.
Well, when I'm starving all day and I'm doing the amount of calories, you know. But they were... Like, I would wake up and just collect, like, you know, in the morning, count the wrappers, not knowing how many there were the night before. Yeah. It was always like 9 to
what
17
kind?
Wrappers. I'm not going to say what kind, because then someone's going to go, there's some anorexic listening being like, what kind did she use? I really, like, I don't know. But they were low sugar. Let me, low sugar, as low cal as I can get, with still being delicious. And they are delicious. So
I never eat the protein bars.
Really?
And the only
good for
one,
you.
And the only one that I'll eat sometimes is the one that's got like the one egg.
Oh yeah,
two
those. Yeah, it has the... Yeah, those ones.
You know, honey.
What are those? Yes. Yeah. Those are everywhere.
Peanut,
yeah, those are the new
peanuts.
Kind bars. They're taking over.
Yeah. I have one sitting. Someone sent me one. Here's what I don't understand, though. That I cannot fucking shake it. The judging the woman I've been seeing it put it to me pretty plainly that I don't know. I can't see that my self-worth is not based on how I feel about my weight.
Yeah, I know.
Because it just happens, like, it's not even that clear. I just know that when I'm uncomfortable, I'm like, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I just want to be invisible. How many chins do I have?
I know. But haven't you been the way you want to...
I'm 58!
I know, Mark. It doesn't go away unless you work a program, unfortunately, is my understanding of it. Have you looked back, though, when you have been the weight you wanted to be, and were you happy?
Because too skinny.
Let's say the weight that you would want to be right now if you snap your fingers. If you look back at a picture of yourself, can you think you weren't happy?
It doesn't look
then?
Good.
It did, not only does it not look good, but
look at the last season of Glow. I was emaciated.
Really?
The last I just started a sugar detox, by the way.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Of course you did.
No, it's been a while.
Okay.
So I started one.
Uh huh.
I did this for Glow because I said, I'm going to just take off a few pounds so I can eat, not be freaked out about eating craft services for the last season of Glow. And I got down to like 172. All right. And that's for me, like at 175, I'm on the border of too skinny.
Yeah.
So at 172, like my character in the last season of Glow looks like I have cancer that no one was talking about. And I...
We're all waiting for this announcement to happen.
No, they're not going to mention it. They're not going to mention Sam's cancer. That's weird.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, even when you get it, you don't look good. You don't feel good.
Ugh.
I can't be. I've gained weight recently, and I felt so, because it was so good as soon as I started doing 3 meals a day and then just letting myself eat. Just my rule was, like, never let yourself skip a meal and never... if you're hungry, you got to find something to eat right away. No questions asked. And I did it, and I still do it. And then I started overeating and under-exercising. I gained weight, and it's a struggle sometimes. And I'm tempted to... The good thing is now, I can't do anything about it. My rule is I don't get to diet. So when I feel fat, I got to come up with something else because it's not going to be eating less because I'm not changing that.
As opposed to putting a control in place?
Yeah, like whenever I used to feel like out of control about my body or hate a picture I was in or my pants were tight, I would immediately go, okay, tomorrow I'm starting this diet and I would fucking do it or I wouldn't do it and I'd feel like a failure. Now it's, okay, I got to... I'm clearly overeating for some reason, and I gotta start writing letters to God or whatever the fuck. Like, I gotta start praying. I gotta start meditating more.
Yeah.
Like, there's gotta be another solution. It's not going to be not eating. I can't do that because on the other side of it is always gonna be a binge, whether it's now or whether it's tomorrow when I finally get to eat, or whether it's months from now when I finally am, or years from now. I mean, I could starve myself for years.
And then
eventually it will turn into out of control eating that is so embarrassing. No one would ever... I'm someone who prides myself on being so honest all the time, but man, was I not being honest about that. I was talking about it being like, oh, I ate 4 protein bars last night in bed. And that it was more like 13. You know, like that's not... Once I get honest with it and I start taking pictures of the shit I was doing and sending it to the person that I was working with, it just got... You weren't. It was just so ugly.
No, you know, don't Instagram that stuff.
I mean, if I did, it would be. It was so alarming what I was doing to myself. But it's not. So many people do this shit.
I know.
You realize, like, everyone struggles with this. And I always assumed that that place that you talked about before that I didn't say that I go to or not, I always assumed that was for people who were overweight, extremely overweight and struggling. It isn't. It's for everyone. And I really, I found so, I didn't think anything would ever work. And although I still struggle, it is nothing like it
So you get powerless over it and you can look at it differently.
Yeah, I just don't. I love having a hard, fast rule, which is something anorexics love to do anyway. So my rule for myself now, as it used to be like no sugar or no carbs or whatever it was, now it's no skipping meals. Like I can stick to it. You can't do this thing and you're a bad girl if you do, and I am a good girl, and so I do not. I got a streak going of
good
since, you know,
that's great.
April of 2020 that I don't skip meals, and I'll tell it's hard because everyone fucking skips meals. It's the way that people think they lose weight, but
I haven't been doing that. Like I'm happy for you, but I just started a sugar detox.
Why? Why? Are you trying to lose weight? Why would you want to change the way you look at all right now?
Well, because I plowed through a fucking pint and a half of ice cream the other night, and I was in New Mexico eating tortillas for 3 days and
beans. I have a feeling you're going to plow through another pint at some point if you deprive yourself of something you deeply want.
No, I'm not depriving myself. I'm eating all day long. I just thought maybe, like, you know, I got some new vitamins.
Yeah.
From a guy.
Listen, you enjoy yourself on these things.
No, I know. And I've been here before. I'm happy.
I can't stand being around people on detoxes, diets. I can't even be friends with, like, people just get so.
Dude, I'm eating all day, but I'm just not eating it. Like, are you kidding me?
I can tell you're good.
I'm eating nuts.
Yeah.
I'm eating the cabbage salad, ate eggs and avocados.
You know, isn't it just so nice, though, when you're not constantly thinking about food and, like, at the end of every meal, you're thinking about when's my next one? Like, now I can just, like, think about other shit.
I know, but I love thinking about food.
I mean, I do, too.
But not in a bad way.
Not in a way that's, like, I'd rather eat.
Here's
than
what
fuck.
Happened. This is what I'm telling you. You'd rather eat than fuck.
Well, I used to always, sort like, at the end of the night, I would, like, be starving all day. I'd go on a date with a guy, eat a dinner that looks like normal. I wouldn't be like, I want to eat, like, a bird for a man. Yeah. I'd eat a normal dinner, but it wouldn't be enough because I starved all day and I'm used to going home and eating all my protein bars.
Yeah.
So instead of going back to his place, which I would love to do,
food is
always going to fucking win.
Wow.
Food always wins. Food is, being hungry trumps everything. And so you're just, all you're thinking about is food. You can't think about sex. You can't think about my career even. Like, everything was motivated by food. When I was going to eat next, when, how much I just ate, when I'm going to work that off. Yeah. And it's that voice is still in me. It's not, I haven't killed
her
yet.
But it's quieter,
But it's so much quieter.
Yeah, well, it's like by getting your head around your three meals thing and around the powerlessness of the compulsion, you know, you can kind of be like, just shut up.
Yes.
To that person. It's like, I know you're upset, but we're not doing it.
I just realized, like, there was this one thing that I heard one time that really got through to me, which was, there's this anecdote that someone shared in one of the meetings about a girl that was had a sugar problem, and her thing was like no sugar. You know, in these kind of programs, everyone has a different abstinence. You can't just like stop eating or what, you know, everyone's
a
different
thing. One thing Misha needs to say to me is that, because I've been wrestling with this for years. And as my second wife, she said, like, you can't, the problem with the addiction to sex and food is you need to do both. You know, you cannot really abstain from those things, really.
I mean, sex.
You can, but it's not great. All right, so even if it's just food, it's not like drugs or drinking or gambling or getting
hard
in debt.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, with food, you have to decide your bottom line.
You have to figure out what your bottom lines are, and it takes a really long time to do that. I switched for a while. I was just, you know, doing three meals, eating a normal diet, but I was chewing gum.
Me too.
To the point where
gums.
I was getting sores in my mouth.
Gums. Yeah.
I had to have a surgery. Trident, Wintergreen.
Oh you had to get surgery?
I had to get surgery in college. I was chewing so much gum. I had this thing called a ranula. If you Google it, it's ranula is Latin for like a bullfrog's like bubble, and it just like, it clogged one of my like
ducts. I have those, yeah.
And I had to pop it with a needle, and it got so calloused that I had to have it surgically removed, and I had to lie to the guy about why I knew it was from gum.
I've had those removed. Those, yeah. They're there are glands that get clogged.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But okay, so
Gum too. So that's another one.
I did too. I quit
no
gum.
More gum.
No gum.
Because I just want it more and more, and it,
Orbits.
It easily replaces.
I was Orbits.
Oh yeah, it easily replaces food.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. It's gone. That's gone. The only reason, here's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to judge me.
I'm not judging you. I smoke weed.
Okay. I'm not, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just want to say, like, I'm not perfect. I've got stuff that I still want to conquer.
Fuck, you're not perfect?
I'm so close. I'm so fucking close.
here's what I was going to tell you, though.
Yeah.
The sugar detox is only because I know that once I get on you crave that thing. And
it you're getting it out. Yeah, because
it changes the way you think.
Yeah.
That's what's bumming me out about it.
Okay, makes sense.
It's shifting how I perceive, you know, what I'm eating.
Everything, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
I support that.
That's it. That's it.
No judgment there.
So, St. Louis, how do you feel? What is it like living in a fascist state?
I know, right? Fuck.
I mean, is that a considered, like, I'll go perform there and the people I bring, they're sort of like, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
It's scary hearing like
St. Louis is not, it doesn't feel that way in St. Louis.
I just interviewed Jason Kander, who used to be your state senator, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, he's great.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Democratic guy. Hopefully he'll run for Senate there. He was a presidential hopeful, but he had PTSD and he didn't know it.
Oh my God.
And he had to pull out and deal with it. Great guy.
Good for him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, so do you...
So I'm in St. Louis, so I don't feel it much.
Right.
And I'm not there that much. I'm just there Monday through Thursday.
I just wonder... I
love it. I love St. Louis.
You do?
I do.
I had a nice time there. I was taken around by the woman who owns Clementine. She, you know, like, showed me around the city.
Beautiful. It's...
And the sort of like... It's one of those cities where I go... That's kind of rebuilding somehow.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of them. You know what else is? Pittsburgh's cool.
It's so cool.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I was surprised.
I said
Where'd
the
you
same
play?
Thing. Oh, God. You could tell me and I would know.
Did you do that Carnegie Homestead Library thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That weird haunted shithole up there?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, which was great this time. The first time I played it, I'm like, there's something wrong with this place. And then this time I'm like, no, it's good. Maybe
I loved
it was me.
Pittsburgh, yes.
But yeah, you walk around, you're like, holy
gorgeous.
Fuck.
What a cool city. The hill, the trolley
the hills,
things going up.
Yeah.
I
loved it.
I
was like, I could live here.
I felt the same way.
Really?
But I was just in Denver. Now I know because I live in St. Louis, I could live anywhere and have a great career.
Yeah.
I was just in Denver and I was out at, I was at a Columbine.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I just got really into Columbine in the past couple
the school?
Months. Just the event. City?
So you went to go look at it?
Yeah, like the way that people are obsessed with like murders, I'm kind of obsessed with
school shootings.
Columbine specifically, I was just at the age I was a freshman when it happened. I've been fascinated by it and for years, and then I read this amazing book by David Cullen called Columbine that just I thought I knew everything about it and I didn't. It was so fascinating. It really makes you look at every mass shooting now so much differently and understand
like
how it got.
Like why?
Well, Columbine was a botched bombing. If those guys were alive to see what they did, they would be humiliated by what happened because it was supposed to be, they were trying to recreate the Oklahoma City bombing.
Okay.
And so their bombs didn't go off and they only had guns so they could pick off the survivors that ran out of the cafeteria.
Where'd they have the bombs?
In the cafeteria, in their cars also. They planted a bomb first to drive all police activity away from Littleton so that there could be more carnage. That bomb really, that kind of fizzled. No one really paid attention to it. The bombs they planted in the cafeteria where it was supposed to be up to 600, maybe 1,000 casualties during this. They plotted it, figured out when the most students would be there. These kids, by the way, were like not losers. They were picked on at times, but so was everyone at Columbine, really. It was like a very like bullying school. They had a problem, but they were getting laid. They were popular. They had a lot of friends that had no idea.
What do you think it was?
Eric Harris is a psychopath, and he had an extinction fetish, and he wanted to cause mass extinction. And then Dylan was suicidal and meant to kill himself before they had planned this attack on 420, but he never got around to it, and so he just kind of fell into it. What happened.
So when you went,
I went there
to the school. What did you feel?
I just was. Well, I felt very creepy vibes at one point. In this certain area where it almost looked reminiscent of what happened 20 years ago there, or over 20 years ago there was a moment where my friends were. really weirded out by my fascination, but I like forced them to go to Columbine twice because we went at night one time, and then I, because they wanted to go to dinner beforehand, so I wanted to see it during the day, and then we went back during the day again, and they were worried that I was going to be arrested for trespassing, but I wasn't trying to get in. I was just trying to pay homage, and like, and also there was this morbid curiosity that I'm not going to lie was also there of this like insane tragedy that happened that was such an anomaly of two people deciding to do this act together, which it's usually a single person. And so
did you like that Gus Van Sant movie?
What was that one? Did they do a, did he do a Columbine movie?
It was sort of based on it. Wasn't it called Elephant?
Oh, yeah. I never saw that. No, oh. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see people get... I really hate gun violence. I don't watch... I can't watch any kind of violent thing, but I can sure as hell read about it. And but the real interesting thing was I went to Columbine, the memorial at night, which they have a beautiful... That's where I want to live, is Littleton. It's the most beautiful campus I've ever seen. You can see the mountains. There's this gigantic lake. It is, it's glorious.
That's where Columbine is?
Yeah, in Littleton. And I went to this. This is so weird, Mark. Okay, so I don't know if you remember, but I don't know why this is turning into me teaching you about Columbine, but it is interesting and I'm obsessed. Yeah. So there was a story that came out of Columbine when it happened that this one girl, they were asking people in the library before they picked them off, they would say, do you believe in God? And one girl said, yes, and then he killed her. Her name was Cassie Bernal, and she died a martyr for Jesus Christ. That was eyewitness accounts of someone that heard the one of the shooters say, do you believe in God, and heard a gunshot. That turned into this huge story where this girl that, you know, was a definite like crusader for Christ, had her life turned around by Christ and was so devoted, such a good Christian. It became her story. She became this martyr. Her mom got a book deal. Her mom felt weird about even doing a book about it. But people were inspired by Cassie's story that she told this guy in the face of a gun in her face. She said, I believe in Christ, and she died for it. Well, once crime scene investigators started doing their research, they realized that the girl who said yes was not Cassie, and it was this other girl who got shot at but who did not die. And she felt embarrassed to even tell the story that she was the one who said yes, because she didn't want to take it from this poor girl who died.
Yeah.
And so it kind of got out a little bit, but it was quickly squashed by, you know, the Christian movement. Like, the churches globbed onto this. They used her as like a way to get to convert so many kids.
The Christian industrial complex shut her down. The Christian stooges.
Yes, but it is documented that Cassie did not say it. It was this other girl that said it. So then I'm at the memorial, and there is a woman there. I mean, this is like on Father's Day at 9:30 at night on a Sunday. This is no anniversary.
Sure.
I go there with my friends. We're reading each of the plaques. And as we're standing there, there's this one woman just standing in front of one of the plaques. We get to it. It's Cassie's plaque. I'm trying to read it. And the woman's like, where are you guys from? What's your connection to Columbine? And I'm just like, oh, I'm just pretty fascinated by it. I was a freshman in high school when it happened. Kind of bookended my high school. I was Columbine freshman year, 9/11 senior year. Like, it just means a lot to me in a weird way. She's asking a lot of questions. And she is... she's there for I look back on it, she was like trying to get us to convert to something. She was standing in front of her like little site as like a, you know, an ambassador for her. And I have no idea at this time that that's her, but I just thought she's just a woman. And I quickly established like she wasn't there mourning anyone, because I wasn't going to go off and talk about what I know if there was someone who lost someone. So she was like, oh, yeah, I was, you know, going to this Denver high school when it happened. I don't know anyone from it, but, you know, I just like to come here. It's so peaceful. And I was like, yeah, it really is. And I was like, and then I read her plaque and it said she said yes. And I go, you know, she didn't, right? And the girl goes, what? And I go, she didn't actually say yes. And I was kind of telling my friends more than her. I was like, oh, the whole story. And this woman is just like, where did you hear that? And I was like, well, I just read this book by Dave Cullen called Columbine. It's been completely debunked. She didn't say it, but I'm guessing she would have anyway. So why not just give it to her, you know?
Yeah.
And she's suddenly she just drifted off into the night. And I swear to God, this woman, I dismantled her entire reason for believing in Christ. I mean, this was probably a girl who was, she was an eighth grader when it happened. And she was probably one of the ones that was converted by this story. And my just like... Just, you
there
know,
you go. You're doing
aside.
The opposite of missionary work. You're an antichrist missionary.
I mean, that if that is what I go down in history as,
That'll be on your grave site.
It. Yes.
she said bullshit.
But I had no idea. I would never try to offend anyone who believes in that and knows, who, you know, has a whole identity based on that. Okay. But it was fascinating to
me. So you've decided that you can live in Pittsburgh because there's hills and it's cool.
Yeah, and I could live in Littleton
because of Columbine's nearby.
I could stop by Columbine anytime and just
what other cities like go, because I've been touring a lot. And I see the ones that are trying to, you know, kind of turn it around. Like Cleveland's only, it's inching towards, it's a little too big, but
it's
not quite
hip. Yes. Detroit
seems to be bouncing back a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God. That one hotel, Chenault.
I stayed at Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
It was a firehouse. It was the main firehouse.
Yeah. Well, I read in Detroit. I called 911 when I was in Detroit because we saw a car accident happen on the highway, and it was I got a busy tone, and then it just rang for 10 minutes and then never picked up. And then I was looking up interesting facts about Detroit so I could roast them. And one of the facts was it takes an hour for your 911 call to be answered.
Oh, my God.
So
maybe it's not bouncing back. Kansas City, I didn't go to Kansas City.
I like Kansas City a lot.
I got some dates coming up in like Lincoln, Nebraska.
I've never been there.
So I thought I was going to get to see your whole special, but they just sent me the fucking trailer.
Oh, lucky you.
What are you talking about?
I mean, like, you just didn't have to, like, watch a special. I mean, I watch them.
I'll watch them.
That's so not, I know you would, but, like, you got out of it by, like, I couldn't. It's kind of like why I, like.
No, I was ready. I set time aside.
That's why I like being tied up during sex so I can be like, I would jerk you on, but I can't.
Yeah,
can. Like, I love a good
excuse.
It's
part of my thrill.
They only sent me the trailer. I would have. I couldn't wait to.
No, but I thought it was funny.
It's called Good, Clean Filth. Oh, thank you. That doesn't sound convincing, but
I do. What do you want?
I'm glad you didn't see it.
Why?
Because if you didn't like it, I could tell.
No,
I wouldn't be able to handle that.
And I like the dirty stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you not proud of it?
Yeah, I'm proud of it, but it's not like, I just feel like there's some kind of, if I were an outsider looking at what I do, I would be like, come on, girl, stop it. Like, it's just enough, like, this is your gimmick.
I saw that in the trailer.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm still talking about this.
I am still talking about this shit because it's interesting to me. I got to be true to what I'm interested in. It's still fucking interesting to be talking about fucking.
Yeah, it's great. I used to do it all the time.
I don't understand why more people don't.
I used to do it all the time, but then it's sort of like, it became sort of a bad look at some point.
At a certain age, it becomes a bad look.
It's just sort of like, I mean, fucking is fascinating.
But you still, I'm sure you still reference it and still have.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll say, yeah. I'm doing a bit about how I don't, like, I'm not one of these older dudes that, like, does hobbies where, you know, physical fitness hobbies, you know, where it's going to have to wear a unitard and pedal fast to go nowhere. And You know what I mean? It's like, and these guys are like, I'm pushing my personal limits. I'm like, why? And then I say, if you really want to push your personal limits, fuck a crazy lady. But not like, I'm not saying all women are crazy. I mean, a mentally ill person.
Okay.
Have sex.
Don't fuck, stop fucking girls before, literally stop having, men need to understand that women have, when we have sex, no matter what we say, we get way more emotionally attached, as you all have seen, than even we intend or we can predict.
That's true.
And it happens every single time. And that is the big crux of my special, is I've stopped having sex unless I'm in love, unless the person I know.
Is going to be able to take it?
No, is in love with me, because a man will always like you less after sex. But if he loves you, he'll still stay with you and have enough. My point is that the only thing men like more than new pussy is integrity.
Hmm.
And so if a man loves you, he'll have integrity to not fuck other women. Not that that is something I care about. I honestly don't really care if someone fucked other women, but they won't. I just had too many times where I would sleep with someone too soon because I thought it was time. I thought they were going to be my boyfriend. I thought we had shared enough and connected enough. And then they just change afterwards. And I read enough about the male brain and about orgasms. Mm. And by that, I mean like thirds of books. And I go, oh, I get this. And talk about it in my special. Like, I'm a fucking expert.
I have like two bookshelves for just thirds
just
of books.
Thirds of books. Yeah. Because you just go, get this.
Look, where'd I stop underlining?
Yes. Where did I leave that set list that I bookmarked with? That's a big stop having sex with us, please. Like, I've just learned how to get off in other ways and to get men off in other ways, because I used to just sleep with guys because I think women, especially if we're talking about high school age girls having sex, and if we want to cut down on teen pregnancy, I really believe we need to teach girls how to give good hand jobs.
Sure.
And good blowjobs, but more so hand jobs because they're not invasive.
Aren't they all watching porn? Can't they get a sense
There's
of
no
it?
Hand jobs in porn.
Oh.
Girls are just getting,
you have to make your search more specific.
But hand jobs are just, we're scared to disappoint men, and girls in are having sex in high school because they want boys to like them, not because they like having sex with a high school kid. That's,
like, I've gotten, it's been a long road, and I'm 58.
Yeah. What have you learned? Do you know that? Like, are you a little apprehensive when you're dating someone new and you're not sure how committed you want to be?
I was very straight. The woman I've been sort of hanging out with, I mean, since... You know, like when Lynn died, that kind of shattered any capacity I had, I was not that good at intimacy to begin with. Yeah. And whatever, that reconfigured everything. So I, like this woman I've been hanging out with for a while, you know, she's younger than me, but there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
You know,
most people are going to be at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't mind having,
you're immature 40 or 50 years. And you're hip.
I'm not immature. I just don't have children.
Yeah, that's a good point. But you are. You're silly and you're lighthearted. You dress young. You're young.
I don't know. Maybe I dress young, but I'm not sure I'm silly and lighthearted. I don't know that everyone is. To you, because you know me.
I know, so but like, no, then you
not,
are.
No, but I'm not hiding from you. I'm not being defensive or threatened emotionally.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, unless being immature is being terrified of being threatened emotionally, but anyways, the point being is I was just straight. I said, look, I don't know what I'm capable of emotionally, really, and at this point or whatever, but I like hanging out, and you know, sex is good, but I have a hard time sleeping with you, and like, it was all pretty much open.
Yeah,
but
why would you have a hard time sleeping with someone?
It's just the intimacy of it. Like, I can't.
The intimacy after, during, before.
No, so for some reason in my brain, there's some sort of weird separation between. Like, I just can't. Like, I'm also very codependent almost immediately. So if I have somebody living in the house, it's like I'm going to disappear and I'm just going to be like, what are you doing? I'm just worried to the point where I'll just resent them because I think they're taking up too much of my brain and it's my problem.
So you get too invested in them if they're...
I just worry.
About what? They'll
Everything.
Leave you? Or
no.
Like about them?
No, just like, you know, be careful when you drive.
Right. Is this post-Lynn or was this always that way?
It was kind of always that way. But then I let that go get to anger where I just sort of like, they're not asking me to do anything and I'm living this whole life in my head.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you're so concerned with them.
I'm paranoid or whatever. It could go either way, but I'm not jealous anymore. I don't do that shit anymore.
Well, how do you fight that? How'd you get over that? Because that plagues everyone.
I don't know. You know, I think I'm a little numb, but like.
Or you might trust more now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because doesn't fear of getting jealous is just not trusting the person, because if you trust the person not to fuck anyone, then you have nothing to worry about, but
you know, people fuck.
Yeah,
and it depends on like the situation. I'm just not in the situation. I'm sure it
you
could
just
all
don't
come
care
back
either way.
No, I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yes.
I've been left for people. I've been fucked around on.
Mm.
You know, and I don't even realize it till years later sometimes where I'm
really?
Like, oh my God, that was going on for like months before they left me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, most people do that.
Of course they do. They get set up and then they leave.
Most people need, my therapist used to say, some people just need a lily pad before they decide to jump.
Most people.
They need to test it out. But I know, most people.
I've just been straight, you know, and I know that emotionally it's deepening, and I don't know what the fuck I want. And I don't have kids. I don't have debt. I don't have.
What about emotional intimacy?
That's what I'm saying is that's the harder thing for me because it's like, and I can't quite figure that out, but I'm working on it. That's why I'm saying, like, a lot of times, like, if we'll sweep in separate rooms, or she won't sweep over at all, because I can't deal with it. With
it's either all or nothing.
Yeah, the responsibility of it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm ready, but I was definitely ready to fuck when we started.
Yes. Well, at least I like what you're saying. I'm straight about it. Like, I'm at least telling her.
Yeah.
that these are my hangups.
Yeah.
And that I'm struggling with
and
them
also,
and
I'm
don't
old,
expect anything.
I'm old and these are the things I need to happen when we have sex if it's going to be good.
Do you really say that? Can you really give like, this is what I need? That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
makes everything so much easier. I think if we all need to be doing that more because so much of sex is just like, is this what they want? Is well, this good? Oh my God, they're placating me. Oh God.
But there's this weird thing about being a dude too, where it's sort of like, there's this pressure and it's sort of like, you know, if things aren't working, you know, why are you blaming me?
Yes, yes,
you know, like,
yes.
Can't we work a little harder at getting this where we need to get
you
it?
You just need to bring in toys. Men need to just, I mean, do you incorporate those? Are you intimidated by those? Are you jealous of those?
For me or her?
Her.
Oh, no, I'm not doing it currently, but no, that wasn't a problem.
That's
I don't
never,
have a problem
you never
with
had a problem with that.
But I do, like, sometimes you have to, depending on who the person is, like, I've had to wean people off of toys.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if someone's, like, compulsively, if toy, like, a compulsive toy person,
yeah.
like, you can't make them come.
I know.
So you got to, you start, like, okay, I'll do the toy for
you're
you.
You're right, you're
and then,
right.
And then sort of, like, let's try without the toy.
I've been single a really long time. I need to wean myself off porn and toys.
Yeah, but just jerking off in general because you can desensitize yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have, it's like a control thing. You have complete control
yes.
of the whole process of getting to your orgasm.
Yes.
So, like, if you're in, and that's the fucked up thing is that.
And I hate it. I don't want control.
Well,
in
oh,
that
so
sense.
That's your thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a relief thing. That's a compulsive thing. That's like, I want to come to feel, you know, I just need,
yes,
it's like
yes.
eating or whatever. But
I don't let myself.
Oh.
I don't yeah. let, I, like, that's another, res- I,
oh, so
I restrict
do the,
in every,
just,
I'm anorexic when it comes to orgasms,
oh,
too.
Oh, so like, you'll watch just, porn for, like, hours and not come?
Yeah, and just, it, well, because I'm saving it for, like, I want to wait to eat, and like, this, yeah. I do the same thing for with
do
food. I want to wait to eat until, no, I don't do that. I did today, and it, like, was orgasmic
satisfied?
To pee in your bathroom upstairs. It was so good. It lasted so long, but, no, I do that with orgasms. I don't know what it is. I just, I do it with Christmas. Even on Christmas, I don't like to open my presents until the very last second, because I think the enjoyment is in the anticipation.
Oh.
For me, it's not actually the orgasm itself because
oh, no.
as soon as I'm coming, I'm like, oh, I can't believe it's going to be a while before I get to do this again.
Oh, yeah, I don't. I'm
or
not.
I want to just make sure it's like the best it can be and
oh,
then I just
good.
Lose it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, but I don't like the sort of, what do you call it, not denying myself. But my I think the point I was trying to make is that when you jerk off compulsively,
yeah,
you're your primary sexual partner.
Right. So, I know exactly what I like.
Right.
Yes.
And so when someone else has entered into the equation, you've got to get them up to speed on that, but also meet halfway. But the weird thing is sometimes when you do start fucking somebody and you're used to jerking off all the time, even when you come, it's sort of like, nah, I could have done that better on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is. It sucks. And it's like, and I think men oftentimes, if you tell them something that you want, it takes the hotness out of it because there's the dynamic there, especially that I like in bed, that they're calling the shots. I'm just a dumb, you know, mute hole.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like to kind of be, like, defense. I like to be so the opposite of the way I am on stage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
to just be holes and just be.
Well, that's interesting because there's people, like, you know, that have that, you know, that control thing.
Yes.
That, you know, sexually, it's like, why wouldn't you be submissive?
Yeah.
To just,
anyone
know,
who's fear. Super in charge in yeah, most yeah. of their life likes to
right.
be out of control in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that to be, but that's hard to do, to ask for what you want, but also be a submissive.
Right, because then you, I get
then
it.
Because
it
takes away
it,
from
it.
The, yeah.
Well, I mean, just, well, eventually you don't have to ask.
You just lay out toys that you want to be used on
yeah.
you, and you send messages
yeah.
of like, hey, this porn got me off. Look, check this out. Look, lay out an eye mask, you know, clamps
yeah,
of sorts.
Sure.
And never really, yeah, and then a safe word, things like that. But it is, I do struggle with the idea of like, I really love, like, I just like anticipation. I really love crushes. And that is something my boyfriend I'm with now, we've broken up so many times because I love, are we going to get back together?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow.
I have to earn him again. Like,
yeah,
does
yeah.
he like me? And then when you finally do, you're like, oh. And I'm really scared of that. Never. That is what I don't understand, how married people can have that and
yeah.
just never have yeah. a crush again. And my married friends go, I have crushes. Don't you think I don't have a crush? I'm like, it's not the same if you know it can't happen.
Well, I think that, like, especially now with the apocalypse and everything, I think
sure.
people are taking it pretty close to the edge.
Yes, you're so right.
Like, you know, I've gotten propositioned by people who want to use their hall pass, and I'm like, that's not a real thing.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's not a real thing.
Yes.
And I'm flattered that...
Well, and I have to consent to... I know you, I'm your hall pass, but I have to...
Well, that's that. But, like, you know, as a dude, like, if someone's coming at me, it's like, my, you know, my husband already said, I'm like, but did he really say? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be on the wrong end of a fucking gun because, you know, people say things just as a couple thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and also it doesn't. It's
and
not,
she had a fight with him earlier that day, and she's like, "I'm going to fucking do it."
Or any, of that sort of like, it's an open relationship. Shit. Is it though? Like, I don't want to die for pussy. I don't want, you know, because
would it be weird if he was like, "Yeah, it's cool." If he was like right there, would that make? Would that take it out? Like,
no,
what's going to?
No, the whole thing's bad. It's all bad.
The whole,
you know,
bad,
like,
yeah.
Sure. I mean,
I think
I've been fucked around on, and I've fucked around on dudes.
Yes, I have fucked around as well, and it is not.
You got to carry that shit, man.
Yeah. I know. And it's hard to feel bad sometimes when you are in the middle of it because you go, it would have just been someone else. If not, I never do it unless I give confirmation that it's something they just do.
But the thing is like, depending on how much you're doing, you know, living the double life thing is the only one who loses is you.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing, you know, you're obviously not doing what you want to do, and you're living a lie.
Oh, right. Well, so, I've never stepped out, but I've been the one that's been the other woman. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
Is like, yeah, you've done that as well. So, but you've been on both sides of things. Oh my God, I can't imagine. Like, I I've been on the other side of things, so I've been with someone who has been cheating, and it, you know what boggles my mind is that these men. And this is way in my past. It's been a long time since I've done anything like this. I mean, there was one recently, but that was a whole different thing. But back in the day, I used to really actually pursue men that had girlfriends. It was a turn on to me because I had low self-esteem. Yeah. I could never be with them. I'd never trust these people. I could never have them. But I am boggled by how many of these guys married the women that they cheated on. Because I thought...
Married, cheated with, you mean?
Cheated with me, on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where
yeah.
I go, I know you stayed with her and you're going to be her, but you can't, unless you guys worked on that, but no, it's just a secret you're going to keep to the grave. I don't want to have any secrets with the person I marry.
And
I know
good
so
luck.
Many people that, I know, I mean, I think, can't tell it all, but I try.
Yeah,
is
that necessary, though?
I mean, I mean, to some degree.
But I mean, shouldn't it be just sort of like from when you start?
Yes. Wait, from when you start.
The relationship, like, I'm going to be honest with you. You really need to sort of like, let's take out the journals.
No. I don't think, no, that's just cruel. There is something to me also about a committed relationship where sometimes I go, you really, just me the rest of your life? You would be like, that's cool with you? Like, there's a part of me that feels like a man loses a part of himself in not, in shutting down any attraction or any like desire for other women. I know that desire is there. I know you can jerk off to other girls and look at them and ogle, but I want that. I want, as much as I don't ever want to be left for another woman, I do want, I think it's a bad sign if my man is not attracted to other women.
Sure.
Aside from
But it's just a matter of how much you talk about. But who the hell knows? Like, it's weird now because I'm older and I don't know what the fuck I want. And I'm so hung up on, you know, the world ending and doing my comedy and just sort of like panicking about shit. It's just like I've gotten pretty in the present about it.
Yeah.
And like, I just don't see any future at all.
I know.
Let alone for me. You know, sort of like, what are your plans? I don't fucking know. I don't think we're going to be able to live in California in a year because there's not going to be any water.
But
do you want to get married? What?
It's happening so fast. Yeah, like me writing a book, I just picture them just in a wave that's being, like just all of them floating away because they're not going to be around that long. Everything's going to be underwater.
I know. So let's talk about some shit then. What? So the special's out now?
It's going to. When is this coming out?
We're going to do it for you.
Oh, okay. Well, the special's out as of July 16th on HBO Max. I'm also the host of F-Boy Island on
HBO
Max.
I watched a trailer of that too. I really didn't feel like I needed to watch all of that.
All the trailers.
But I want. But I did want to see your comedy special.
Thank you.
The trailer of F-Boy Island, I was like, I think I've seen enough of this.
You get it. Yeah. Yeah. It's 13 F-Boys, 13 nice guys, three girls trying to figure out who's who. And it is so funny and fun. And, you know, I get to be like comedic as the host. It's like a reality dating
show. Very
but
funny.
I get to be funny on.
You're funny.
And then, yeah, my special is out and it's just like me talking about relationships
like
and the end
with
of the world.
HBO?
Yeah. Oh my God. I honestly think they were negligent in letting me get away with some of the things that I said on F-Boy Island, where I would go, no notes. You're not going to give me one note.
I'm so happy to do an HBO special.
You're doing one?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's what I wanted when I was a kid, an HBO special.
Oh, that's awesome.
And now, this is before Netflix and everything else. And
it's going to be so cool.
But it seems pure, man.
It is.
I was so fucking thrilled about the opportunity. Fuck Netflix. Fuck them. I've done a few with them, you know, but it's like, there's no... It's like, okay, they just throw it out there. At least HBO, they're going to curate it. You know, they're going to fucking get behind it.
Yes. They're such fans of mine, and they're so excited about it, and I'm really proud of what they let me do.
Here. Yeah?
Yeah. It's called Good Clean Filth.
Yeah.
And it's, I shot it in Denver, just down the road from Columbine.
Where you might be living.
Yeah, where I might move any day now.
Yeah.
I just want to wake up and see the mountains. Like, I just... Just thinking about how we're not going to be around that much longer, I feel the same way as you feel. I'm like, why am I wasting any of my life not being in this crisp air and getting to see these majestic mountains?
It's a little high and dry, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I don't mind.
Oh, sometimes the altitude fucks with me. And I've never seen drunker people in Denver because of that fucking altitude.
I don't drink anymore.
Yeah,
so
no, it's just sort of like
that,
but when you do a show there and you go out downtown, like if you're at the Comedy Works, and it's just sort of like, what's happening? Between the legal weed and the booze and the altitude, it's just fucking disaster. It's like fucking Glasgow. Fucking nuts.
Do you smoke weed?
No, I don't do nothing.
Okay.
But, all right, so I think we covered everything.
All right. I feel like we did. Yeah.
Columbine, fucking.
Yeah.
Sex.
Fear of intimacy. Yeah. Wait, but fear of, like, sharing your deepest fears and, like, looking into each other's eyes. I just want to, like, I'm not trying to pry. I'm just trying to understand.
No, I got to get there. You know, like, even with Lynn, it wasn't quite there yet, and we're just sort of getting started.
Have you been to couples therapy before? I'm sure you have. Yes.
Usually it's a fucking Hail Mary.
Yeah, it's already.
Yeah, it's over.
I went to couples therapy with my boyfriend before we became official. I said, I'm not doing
it. I used to say that. It's like you're on your second date, it should be couples therapy.
Yeah, it should.
I used to do a joke
about
that.
It's great.
Did you do that joke?
No.
Oh.
I won't. Oh. I won't even think about it now. It's done.
But there's not so much a thing like, you know, I'm not waiting for the right one or whatever. It's just like, you know, sometimes you stay with people for a long, I've stayed with people too long. And sometimes I've stayed with people that I didn't feel that I knew weren't really right.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know how to get out.
Right.
You know, I've been in relationships that should have been over.
There were still good times to be had.
In 6 months. They should have been over in 6 months. And I was in it for 4 or 5 years.
Why don't you know how to get out? Because you're scared you won't find someone better. You're scared
that, I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want the confrontation. I don't want to feel the heartbreak. I don't want to hurt somebody.
Yeah,
I don't want to deal with the whole fucking, like, you know. And usually in my past, it's got to blow up.
Right, right.
You know, someone's got to blow up.
Yeah, yeah. I do that sometimes to my boyfriend and just, like, try to get him to either hang up on me or break up with me.
You sound very exciting. That guy's a real hero.
He's great. We've been dating off and on for 9 years. We took a 5-year break, and we just became official again because it's just getting embarrassing how many times we've broken up and gotten back together, and our families just have no faith in us. And now we're actually like, okay, I think we're gonna do this. And I think what the thing is I'm scared of like no new crushes ever. No, that'll die.
Yeah.
There's a thing that. I could give that up. I gave up a lot of things. Drinking, I miss a lot, and that was so fun. But I had my fun.
I know,
it's
done. But crushes are different.
Yeah,
crushes like it's like any other sort of obsession, like a meal or whatever. It'll fade.
Of course,
you know what
it's
I mean.
Fleeting. It is a hit.
It's not exactly fleeting. It can last a while.
Will go away. Like, but I look at like you know. Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian, and I'm like that obsessive love called limerence is what it's called, where
you're just all over each other, so good,
and it's like, God, I'm never going to feel that way again.
Why do I look at those two and I feel like someone's in trouble?
Oh, see, I look at that and I go, God damn it, I want that. Like, that is like that first hit.
For me, I just sort of like, I don't know if this is good for Pete.
No, of course not. It's like any two people that obsess with each other, it can't sustain it, even though you think it's going to.
I don't believe it. Why are we seeing so much? Why are we seeing so much?
What do you mean?
It's just like, you know, why is the press on it? It's just a little disturbing to me.
Because
it's not
we're talking about it right now, and it's going to help their bottom line. I mean, it's like.
But that's what I mean. So what do we really know?
I don't know. I think I can tell. I can tell. Okay. I am romantic, but I think I can tell they're pretty fucking happy and that she's getting banged out real good. And she's like in it and like feeling young again and free. It's a good feeling.
Well,
but
good. I'm glad everyone's happy.
I've just never felt in my life enough like that deep love that everyone talks about is like, oh, I can sacrifice any of these new dalliances because there's this deep committed love. And I think I'm just starting to actually understand what that can be. And like, that's the thing my therapist keeps saying is like, you have to take a leap of faith and just really commit, because I'm scared to commit further because then I'm going to hurt him or I'm going to hurt me. Why get deeper into it? Like sleep in another room. Don't stay over because it's either all or nothing. When really they have you can't prevent someone from getting hurt. It's up to them.
That's right. And, you know, and people get hurt, and I've been hurt, and I've hurt people, and I've lost people and everything
else. Just
enjoy
music more those few months hurt. I've gotten through
it's
it before.
It's exhausting, dude. Yeah. But
it reminds you're alive.
You can't avoid it. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I know that. And I know that now. And I've lived a long and weird life. And I've been, you know, married twice. And, you know, and I've been with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever you're talking about, this weird, committed, like sort of relaxed love thing. I don't know, man. If we haven't fully got a handle on that shit that's inside of us, I don't know how it.
Right. Well, that's why I'm starting to feel it, is because the voice that's telling me to starve myself is dissipated, and then there's a voice that's like, just be good to yourself. It's like getting louder, and then that's letting people in that are just good to me.
All right, good. Well,
so it is true. You
keep
do
that
have
door
to go.
Open. See what you can do. I'll get back to me. I'll talk to you in 6 months.
Gotta go eat a protein bar.
Thanks for doing it.
Thank you, Mark.
Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser, Good Queen Filth is streaming on HBO Max. Could you just hang out for a second? Can you hang out for 1 second? Thanks. Listen, for people who have a full Marin subscription on WTF Plus, we just posted some producer cuts. This is something we're going to do regularly. When there's stuff that gets cut out of recent episodes, Brendan will explain why it got cut out in the first place, and you'll get to hear the whole clip. There's stuff from the Michael Mann and Orny Adams episodes up now, so go check out the producer cuts on the full Marin feed if you're subscribed. If you're not subscribed, join up now and you'll get all the bonus stuff we've been posting, plus every episode of WTF ever. Just click on the link in the episode description or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. Okay, so I'll be at Just for Laughs in Montreal for my gala on Saturday, July 30th. I'll also be doing two solo shows at Salle Claude Leveille. And tickets are going to be available today at noon Eastern. That's July 28th, Thursday at 7 o'clock. And Friday, July 29th at 8:30. This place only seats a couple hundred, so not even. This place seats like 125 or something. Just get the tickets at hahaha.com or wtfpod.com/tour for my shows at Saul Claude Leveille. I don't know. In August, I'll be in Columbus, Ohio at the Southern Theater on August 4th. Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm at the Old National Center on August 5th. Louisville, Kentucky, at the Bombard Theater, August 6th. And I hope I don't bomb hard. Ooh, man, I'm on fire. Then I'm back at Dynasty Typewriter in L.A. on August 14th. Lincoln, Nebraska, at the Rococo Theater on August 18th. Des Moines, Iowa, at the Hoyt Sherman Place on August 19th, in Iowa City, Iowa, at the Englert Theater on August 20th. Then in September, I'm in Tucson, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, Boulder, Colorado, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. In October, I'm in London, England, and Dublin, Ireland. Yes, yes. Go to WTFpod/tour for all the dates and ticket info. And the shows have been good. On some of those Midwest dates, in the Nebraska and Iowa dates, I'm taking Lara Bites with me. She's going to be my ambassador to the Midwest, being from the Midwest. And the shows have been good. Shit is tightening up. there's four or five, you know, kind of like real big bits in there. And the rest of the stuff is kind of working around those things. It's really starting to take shape. So I've only been doing it now for over a year. You would think it would take shape, right? Huh? You would think it would take shape. And now I will do some raga. I'm going to do sort of some sort of Indian blues riff for you now with my Banker custom Leslie guitar through the old amps. Just tubes, man. Just the natural breakup of the tubes. Monkey in La Fonda, cat angels everywhere.